Welcome to Metaphysical Romp with Reverend Paul Hasselbeck and co-host Reverends Bill Holton and Cher Holton. Discover practical applications to bring 21st century metaphysics to work in your life. Here's your host, Paul Hasselbeck.
Welcome to another edition of Metaphysical Romp 2. In fact, this is the first edition for 2022. So this is MR2 2022-01, and that's more information than you ever wanted to know. And even so, it is another beautiful day in my consciousness. Hi, friends.
Hello, this is Reverend Dr. Cher Holton, and it is another beautiful day in my consciousness.
And it's very definitely another beautiful, beautiful day in my consciousness as well. And I'm glad to be with you. And as you guys know, and even for those of you who don't know, Cher and I are the co-founders of an online unity ministry called the Unity Center for Universal. Why Universal? Because it's about you, prosperity.com.
And we have a wonderful shortcut, as always, we like to share, ucfyp.com. Check us out.
And you really like to share.
I love to share.
You are share. And I have my website, paulhasselbeck.com, where you can find my calendar and my weekly blog, The Absolute Word, where the blogs are actually archived. And if you want to look up a topic, you can look back all the way back through 2014 for a topic. And that can be a really good resource for you. Okay, so I've chosen a theme for this year, which is review and renew in 2022. So our listeners, if you want to take that on, that's fine. It's review and renew in 2022. And the review is all about questioning your unquestioned answers. All right, so Cher, introduce our topic today.
Yes, we thought since we're starting a brand new year and we are renewing, we want to renew with inner peace. We want to move into this new year in a calm, less frantic way than maybe we ended the year. And so we found an article called Six Habits of Remarkably Calm People. And the subtitle is Cultivate Them and Peace of Mind Will Follow. And of course, as you guys know, we have a lot of our own beliefs about inner peace and how we achieve it and what spiritual practices help contribute to it. But we thought this article by Nick Wignall, W-I-G-N-A-L-L, and it's on Medium. This is an article that would give us a structure to just talk about it and share with you some good ways to begin this year with peace.
Wonderful. Let's get romping. The first one is they keep their expectations in check. Oh my gosh, expectations are a death knell to peace and inner joy.
Yeah, this is a big one because we hear so many people saying, I just don't have any bandwidth for that anymore, or I feel overstressed in trying to accomplish things. And when you start talking with them, a lot of it is just the level of expectation they have. Like it's got to be perfect. Or they're comparing themselves to some made up belief of what they should be.
And what about in relationships, when you're in your relationship with somebody and that person has expectations, but doesn't share them with you?
Oh, yeah, you're supposed to be a mind reader.
Right. Supposed to be a mind reader. Exactly. Exactly.
Even with wanting to keep expectations, a lot of people should on themselves. I should do this. You should do that. And so to stop from shooting on yourself, be very careful about any kind of expectations you make.
Yeah. And he says something here I never thought of. When we talk about things should be, it gives the illusion of control, but not real control. Wow.
And instead, stresses us out. It just makes us all stressed. And I love this quote by Bruce Lee. He includes here, I'm not in this world to live up to your expectations, and you're not in this world to live up to mine.
Wow.
It all in a little package, doesn't it?
Oof.
You know, that actually opened up a new thought for me too, is so much of our stress comes from part of it is the expectation other people have of us, and we try to live up to it. And then we have those same expectations of others. I always think about holidays, because that's one of our big things we talk about, our holiday stress. And part of it is, why do we expect our families to be any different on a holiday than they are the rest of the year? For some reason, we think everybody's going to come together and be peaceful and joyful and love each other and all communicate well and have good habits and treat each other with respect, if that isn't the case the rest of the year.
Not going to happen. Okay, so what's the second one?
So we want to encourage everybody, first of all, then. So look at your expectations as we move into the new year and make sure that you really have a clear vision that's realistic and for you as you move into the year.
Oh my gosh, Sherry, you just hit on something. Maybe we really should stop doing New Year's resolutions, because they become expectations and shoulds.
Yeah, and most of the resolutions are ridiculous anyway. There are things we're not going to accomplish. We like to talk about essence intentions. Like, what do I want to be more of? What do I want to feel more? Like, if it's finances, I want more financial freedom. What practices do I want to bring into my life to help that essence of financial freedom? And what does that mean?
And so what Cher's talking about, when you think about it, is not resolutions, but revolutions.
Revolutions. Aha.
Revolutions in thinking, being, and doing.
Oh, I love that.
I like that. I like that a lot.
That comes from questioning unquestioned answers. Like, do we need resolutions?
No, I don't do them anymore.
Yeah, we agree. Okay, so that's what we're going to all agree to do for that first one. We're not setting any unrealistic expectations here, just inviting you to look at what yours are. So the second one he lists is they take responsibility for their actions, not their outcomes. So let me read that again with a little different emphasis. They take responsibility for their actions, not outcomes.
Wow. And we've been talking about radical self-responsibility. That's what Unity Teachings is all about, radical self-responsibility.
That's powerful, because we so often get attached to an outcome, and we don't always have control over the outcome because other people are involved usually, but we always have control over what we choose to do or how we choose to respond to what happens when other people do things.
Yeah, and this reminds me of team building.
There we go.
Oh, I just never like to be put on a team. Because a lot of people on a team just sit back on their haunches while everyone else does the work.
Yes. Yeah. If you get into a team, I mean, we teach team building. Obviously, we made a living at it for years. And I always, my favorite quote about me self-revealing is, I'd love to teach team building. I am not personally a really good team player.
I definitely want to be. Oh, because you really know.
Yeah, everybody. I usually tell teams that from the very beginning, so they know what they're dealing with.
Well, that's sort of a fun detail, isn't it?
Yeah.
Wow. So this one also gets down to some basic Unity teaching also, in that your response and your reaction, I'm not responsible for. However, it is important we have sensitivity to see how a person does react and respond to what we do and what we say. Because we can pretty quickly understand what a person's own personal buttons is and when they push them. Yes. And it's not kind then to do them so that they will push their buttons.
Right.
And we can expand the concept of outcomes to contingency management as part of the process as well.
Oh, nice.
Because contingencies are still part of outcomes, but it may not be the original outcome you envision.
Well, I do have this little saying that kind of relates to that a lot of people don't think it's very Unity-like. You work for the best, but plan for the worst.
Right. Yeah. You can see where Unity thinking would not agree with that, but I get what you're saying, and that's so true.
Yep.
because you do have to have a plan.
Yeah.
And part of that can just be a determination of how you are going to deal with whatever occurs.
Right.
And we call that an optimistic spirit, that you approach life with an optimistic spirit, recognizing things go wrong, but also knowing you have that inner ability to deal with it, and you get to choose the meaning you give.
Yeah. And there's unintended outcomes, unintended consequences. Today's solutions often create tomorrow's unintended outcomes.
Oh, that's powerful, right? Exactly. There's a tweet right there.
Yep.
Yeah, one of the things that's highlighted in this section is one sentence: your sense of responsibility should not exceed your capacity for control.
Wow.
That's pretty powerful.
Your sense of responsibility should not exceed your capacity to control, because whatever is out of your control, you can't be responsible for. Oh, and my saying, I'm only responsible for what I'm aware of.
There you go.
That fits.
Which goes back to what you said under expectations. When people don't share that expectation, you can't be responsible.
You can't be responsible for it. Yep.
And as we talked about before, but this is in addition to that, your response ableness has to do with your responsibility, but your response ableness is very important when you look at any contingencies, because as you react to contingencies, you're still being responsible for your actions.
Yes.
It all fits together.
Right.
Yes. And this quote by Roy T. Bennett is brilliant. Instead of worrying about what you cannot control, shift your energy to what you can create.
Oh, that last word is so powerful.
Yeah. Shift your energy to what you can create.
Because normally you would think it would be what you can control.
Isn't that what you were expecting?
Yes. To a whole new level of, you know, I live in this field of infinite potential. So regardless of what happens, I can create what's next.
Yes. Yes. And I don't know why this is triggering this, but I heard Amanda Gorman, the poetess, that was amazing. She's written a new poem, New Day's Lyric, for this year, for 2022. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but there were a couple lines that caught my attention, and I'm looking them up right now. Let us not return to what was normal. Let us not return to what was normal, but reach toward what is next.
Oh, that's good. I like that.
Isn't that beautiful? Yeah. And so doesn't this have to do with expectations and what you can control and all of this? And I work with a lot of churches, and everyone's talking about getting back to normal. That's going to the past.
It is. And it's not being responsive to what's happening now, what's next? If we fall back on old actions, they're not going to be responsive to what people need now.
And new normal can include parts of the old normal, if you want to put it that way. But we are in fact establishing a new normality, and that's an important thing.
Yeah,
the new normal shifts some of the existing pieces, their relationships to each other. But trying to duplicate the past, oh boy, not going to work.
No, it's kind of like trying to go back to the same place for a vacation where you had this marvelous time, and you go back and you're expecting the same thing, and it's never going to be recreated the same way. So it's either better to go somewhere different or go back there with a brand new insight of what's it going to be like this time.
Yeah.
It's trying to recreate something.
And to use a baseball analogy, when you're playing a game, can't steal second base with your foot on first.
Yeah, right.
You cannot. What's the next one?
I love this next one, and I really relate to it. They embrace JOMO, that's J-O-M-O, which is called the joy of missing out.
Yes. And,
you know, everybody's heard of FOMO, F-O-M-O, which is the fear of missing out, and that just keeps you chasing after things that you just don't want to, like, you're always looking for the best price or you're always looking for the new technology. You don't want to miss out. But he is suggesting that we change that to JOMO, which is the joy of missing out, which reminds you, you don't have to do everything.
You don't.
Embracing the joy of missing out, I'm quoting him, simply means that you remind yourself that even though you might well be missing out on something enjoyable or exciting now, you're gaining something far greater. The long-term joy that comes from keeping promises to yourself, taking care of your health and well-being, and being free to make decisions based on your values rather than passing whims or fears.
Wow. Truly calm people are in the habit of making decisions based on their long-term values and well-being, not passing impulses and insecurities. Woo!
Wow, that's very powerful. I like that, JOMO. I'm going to adopt that as just the joy of missing out, because I will be honest, that fear of missing out, I do kind of try a lot of new things and jump in and want to do them. Technology, I'm really a techie.
I'm going to go far out and reinterpret the JOMO as the joy of managing OM.
Oh.
Instead of missing out on something, I don't want to miss out on something, but I want to manage OM, my OM moment.
Well, you know, there's no place like OM. There's no place like OM. There's no place like OM.
Here's a quote by Jeffrey McDaniel at the end of that section, which says, "I realize there's something incredibly honest about trees in winter. How they're experts at letting things go." Except for evergreens.
Right. I knew you would come up with some exception.
What can I say? I mean, it just popped in my head because we're surrounded by them here. So maybe that's knowing what to let go of and what to hold on to, that there's part of you that right. needs to be evergreen and yes. like your practices, and then other things we want to be sure and let go of. So one of your adventures for this coming year as you move into 2022 is asking yourself, what's important? What are my values? Because all of this is based on knowing what's important to you first.
Yes.
And being able to use that as your guidance. I know that either Walt Disney or his brother, I forget his brother's name. I think it was his brother that said this, but he said, once your values are clear, decision-making becomes easy. And I've always thought that's a powerful quote.
Clarity is very important. And that happens to be the topic of today's absolute word.
Yeah. How about that? Yeah. Isn't that interesting? And we are getting very close to doing that, but let's do one more real quickly. And then I think we can. The fourth one, they set healthy boundaries. And I really wanted to be sure and bring that one out, because that's something everybody can begin to look at as they move into the new year, is what are my boundaries? And then honoring those boundaries is so important.
Absolutely. And the thing that he says here is having no boundaries means taking on everyone else's problems and stresses as your own. So, of course, you never feel calm. I can remember saying to somebody in the last year or two, your urgency and emergency is not mine.
Right. Right. I think I had a sign like that in my office when I worked in corporate America. I had a little sign that says, your crisis does not mean it's a crisis for me, or something like
yeah,
that.
Very similar. Right.
And, you know, Julia Cameron, who's one of my favorite authors, she has a term called crazy makers. And all the people around you who just make life crazy, they just, by their existence, seem to create crazy moments. And her recommendation for that is to set boundaries, clarify those boundaries and communicate those boundaries, and then honor those boundaries. Don't let anybody, you know, push you over that boundary.
Communicating them is very important, though.
Yeah, that's a key piece. That goes back to what you said, Paul, in the very beginning. You can't get mad at somebody for not living up to an expectation if you have not communicated that expectation with them.
That's very true. Very true. So shall we switch now to the absolute word? Okay, so here we go. I'm pulling it up, and this is the absolute word for January 2nd, 2022. And the word is clarity. And of course, the absolute word is based on Sunday messages appearing in Daily Word, a copyrighted Unity publication, and has been used with permission. The word is clarity. Time invested in my divinity brings more clarity. Time invested in my divinity brings more clarity. When I gaze toward the sky on a moonlit night, I expect to see twinkling stars and constellations. When I use a telescope, I can see details with much greater clarity. This example could describe my spiritual life as well. I may go about my day mindful of my blissful feelings and kinship with all the people. These things and more are the fruits of my faith. I also find clarity during times of intentional contemplation. When I meditate upon the truth, I feel the presence of my divinity, filling my awareness and touching my heart. This clarity informs my thoughts, feelings, words, and actions, bringing my faith to vivid life. Time invested in my divinity brings more clarity. And I can't say enough about personal clarity, because when I'm not clear, any new questions that come to me come to my chaos, which only creates more chaos. The clearer I am, the easier it is to say yes or no. And that is a personal gift to give to yourself in 2022. And so this is the Reverend Dr. Paul Hasselbeck signing off. Make it a happy new year, everybody. And happy new year to my friends, the Rev Drs. Bill and Cher Houghton. Bye, guys.
Bye. Thank you again so much. And we just affirm inner peace for everyone in the coming year.
Yes. And I'll add, to be clear, invest in your divinity this week.